I want to talk to you about hearing the voice of God through the Word of God, the Scripture inside the Bible. Why is hearing the voice of God so important? Well, there was a Marine who he and his family used to drive from Jacksonville. They still come over on occasion, but they used to drive from Jacksonville all the way here to Covenant Love. And then I told them about a phenomenal church, a real good friend of mine that's in Jacksonville. They went and they became a part of that church and River of Life. And so, but they still come. But he was telling me this story, and I was talking about how God communicates with us and how we need to be able to discern His voice. And he came up to me after service and he said, "Pastor, I have to tell you this story." And he began to tell me how that when he first went in to the Marine Corps and they took him down to Paris Island, he said, "You know, as we were going through our basic training," he said, "I had a sergeant major." And how many of you know sergeant majors can be real mean at times? You know, because we got a lot of them in here. Now they've been saved and now they're like puppy dogs. Okay, so anyway, so he said, "Man," he said, "this sergeant major, major sergeant would get in my face and he would scream, 'Did you hear what I said, soldier?' And he would just absolutely scream." And he said, I was taken back. And he said, "Most of the of us recruits that were standing there, we would discuss this when we went back to the barracks and said, 'Why in the world does a man have to scream at us all the time? Why does he have to yell at us? We're standing right there. We can hear him if he just talked in a normal voice.'" But he said, "I had no idea, Pastor." He said, "It was not until we got into battle and we got into a firefight that with all the noise going off, all the ammunition, the mortar fire, the rounds being fired, all the weapons being fired," he said, "the noise was unbelievable. But," he said, "all of a sudden, I was able to zero in on one voice." He said, "It was the voice of my major sergeant. It was his voice. It was his voice, and you could hear it. All of us could hear it over the fire." And all of a sudden, it made all the sense in the world to me that the reason that he was screaming at us, because he knew there was going to be a time that we got into warfare. He knew it was going to be loud, and we needed to be able to pick out his voice so we knew exactly where to go and what to do. And he said, being able to discern between his voice and other voices that were out there, he said, it saved our lives. And it's the same thing when it comes to the Spirit of God, because today in this spiritual warfare that literally is raging and manifesting in this world, there are multiple voices that are desperately competing for our attention and for our minds. We must be able to hear and know the voice of our Heavenly Father, the voice of Jesus Christ, who is the Word, and the voice of the Holy Spirit, who leads us, guides us, and directs us into all truth. And we need to know His voice from and over every single voice that we hear that comes into our ears, whether it be on TV, whether it be in at work, no matter where it may be. I need to discern that which is God and that which is not God. I need to be able to discern that which is truth and that which is lies. I need to be able to discern that which is right and that which is wrong. I need to be able to discern that which is holy and that which is unholy. I need to be able to discern that which is righteous and that which is unrighteous. So I need to be able to discern, because your life, the things that will happen to you in the future, is going to be, how would I put this? It's going to be dependent upon you being able to discern between the voice that is not God and the voice that is God. There are a lot of voices out there that are not God. Now, you must understand that every single human being born into this world has a sinful nature. And until a person gets born again, they are going to make decisions and they are going to speak out of a mind that is educated through this world system apart from God. And they are going to speak things out of their heart that literally is inspired by their sinful nature. So many times when you see things on television, you hear things on radio, or you listen to your peer groups, or sometimes friends, or you listen to music, you've got to know that that voice, whatever you're listening to, that voice is planting seed on the inside of you. And if you listen to the voices that are not of God for long enough, your harvest is not going to be a harvest that you're going to like. It's not going to be a good harvest. It's going to end up being a bad harvest. And let me also say this. Just because the majority of people embrace something does not mean that it is God. Does not mean that God is for it or God approves it. Amen. So Jesus actually warned us in Matthew 24, speaking of the days that we're living in. Jesus answered them in Matthew 24, 4. Jesus answered them. I thought I was going to get by. I thought I had tricked y'all, and I knew I couldn't. So in Matthew 24, 4, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed. When Jesus says take heed about something, you need to pay attention to it. You need to pull your antennas up. He said, take heed. Before he listed all the things that were going to be happening in the world before his return, this is the first thing he said. Take heed that no one deceives you. What does the word deceive mean? It means this, to lead away from truth by taking truth out of its original context to fit into a false narrative. Let me say that again. To lead away from truth, to lead away, and notice it didn't say snatch away. To lead away. And therefore, that means that someone to lead you away from truth has to seduce you. They and not only that, what I have found out in my life, sometimes people can lead you away from truth by mixing the truth with lies. To make the lie sound really good. Okay? So, to lead away from truth by taking truth out of its original context, that's very important, and to fit it into a false narrative. So, Jesus, he had to discern between people who had good intentions concerning him, but they were not God intentions. He had to discern between people speaking to him and voices that he was hearing, that which is of his Father and not of his Father. He actually had to listen to somebody that was very close to him, that the thoughts that came into his mind that he thought was good thoughts, and he thought that he had good intentions in talking with Jesus and giving Jesus good directions, and in fact, it was not. It was inspired by the devil. We have to be very, very careful. We need to be slow to speak and quick to listen. We need to know that that which we are getting ready to say to someone, we know that that is by the Spirit of God. We know that God is directing us to say that because someone's destiny, especially when you're talking about children, young people, someone's destiny can be dependent upon that. Listen to this. in Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 31 and 33, it says this, "And he began," that's Jesus, "he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." And he was discussing and teaching all of this out of the Old Testament. That was in Scripture. So he's actually giving them what it says in Scripture. And he spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside. This is a disciple who became an apostle. This is a man that was on his staff. And took him aside and began to rebuke him. Whoa. Can you imagine going to heaven and take Jesus aside and rebuking him? Can you just imagine being there and rebuking Jesus, who is the Word, who is all wisdom? But yet at the same time, you're going to find out the motive behind this. He took him aside. Peter took Jesus aside, began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, all of a sudden, he was seeing now the influence that Peter was having on the other disciples in what he was saying. He rebuked Peter, saying, watch this, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." Notice he did not say Peter was demon-possessed. What he was saying was this, "Peter, you're listening to the wrong voice. Peter, I just gave you information from the Word of God, and yet you're not hearing that. You're only concerned about your own self-preservation and what you think is right, and it's out of selfish ambition. It is not for the kingdom of God. You're thinking the way people think apart from God and apart from His Word." And that's something that we need to be careful of. We need to be careful on who we're listening to. You know, one of the things that I have committed my life to, and Pastor Cam has committed his life to, and our pastors here on the staff, and that is this, and I say this over and over again, Paul told Timothy, preach the Word only. Preach the Word only. You don't need to hear my opinions. You need to hear the Word, because my opinions cannot set you free. My opinions cannot give you a foundation. Only the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, can set you free. Okay? So Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." So what he's doing, Jesus understands exactly the voice that is behind what Peter is saying. And he's trying to teach Peter a lesson that he needs to make sure that before he starts rebuking somebody or starts saying, "No, don't go there, don't do this," you need to make sure that what is being said, what is being done, it lines up with Scripture. I remember when Pastor Cameron came to Tava and I and told, he walked up to me one day and he said, "Dad, I'm called to the nations." And I'm sitting there and I'm just smiling. And I said, "Well, praise the Lord." Inside, though, I'm having a conversation with God inside. And I'm sitting there going, "Lord, I thought you told me that He was going to succeed me here in the ministry one day." And then He started telling me all the things, you know, He's going, you know, all these things, you know, He's going to do what God's put in His heart. He was so excited. And all of a sudden, right in here, right in my spirit, because here's something you need to understand too. The Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. And your spirit speaks to you. The Holy Spirit can speak to you, absolutely, 100%. But the majority of times, the Holy Spirit, who is right there with your spirit, is going to speak to your spirit, and your spirit will speak right into your mind. But it must line up with the Word of God. It's very important that it lines up with the Word of God. And so when Pastor Cameron is telling me this, it comes right in my spirit this, It's exactly where he's going because I need to train him. And then the Lord reminded me of something after we had had our conversation, because I never tried to influence him. I need for him to learn and to know, as a young man that he was at that time, I need for him to be able to hear the voice of God, the direction of God, and knowing what is God and what is not God. Now, I will tell you, the one time that when we had this talk about going on the mission field, he came down, he was so excited, and he was saying, "I believe I'm going to be a martyr on the mission field." And then I said, "I rebuke that in the name of Jesus." Because instantly I knew I had a check. That is not God. He's been reading too many missionary books. But you know, I told him, I said, "Son, don't say that. Don't say that." I said, "Because there can be some other things that God has for you." And of course, we know the answer to that. The Apostle Paul himself speaks about voices of deceptions in the last days. Please listen to me very, very carefully. In these last days, the Bible tells us that there's going to be an uprising and a multiplication of, listen to me very carefully, it's all through the Bible, of false apostles, false prophets, false teachers. And you must be able to discern who you are listening to and what they are teaching you. That's the reason that we have our discipleship classes. That's the reason that we want you to get a foundation and learn the Word of God, because of the days that we're going in. Because if all you do is sit and get sermonized and you don't know the Word of God for yourself, you could easily be deceived. And the one thing that we desire here more than anything is not for you to be deceived, but for you to be informed and you to have a foundation of the Word of God, that when somebody says something or does something, immediately the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit and says, "That is not of the Lord. That is not of the Lord." I remember, I guess it was like a couple of months ago, this young lady came up to me after the service was over with, and she had her notebook and everything out, and she said, "Pastor," she said, "I was listening to this person on TV the other night, and he said this, this, and this," and she said, "All of a sudden, I got a check in my spirit, and I don't think that's in the Word of God," and she said, "And then I looked it up, And I'm coming to you and asking you right now, because this is the scripture I looked up." And she said, "The scripture that I looked up said that what he just said is wrong." And she told me what he said, and I said, "You're exactly right." And I said, "I am so proud of you that you heard the Holy Spirit. You heard God, not audibly. It's that God impressed upon your spirit through his spirit that is not right. That is wrong." And I looked at her and I said, "So what are you going to do?" She said, "Oh no, I cut that thing off." She said, I'm not listening to that anymore." She said, "I just realized if he made that one mistake that is this big, and then he tried to explain it, that he had special revelation." And see, that is contrary to God's word also. Amen? So the Apostle Paul speaks about the voices of deception in these last days. In 1 Timothy 4, chapter verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Now listen how they depart. And the departure does not take overnight. It is someone that you're listening to that begins to say things to you, and sometimes it's a lot of things that we like, that we want, because there's no conviction. And so he says, to depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Listen to this again. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. How can the devil get a demonic doctrine inside the church? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 13 and 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, which means teachers, transforming themselves into, now listen to this, this is incredible, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Now listen to the next statement, verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. So people can literally be preaching the gospel out of the wrong motives. You know, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said this in Philippians, the first chapter, when he was talking to the Philippian church and was talking to the leaders of the Philippian church, and he said this. He said, do nothing out of self-ambition. In other words, as a leader, as a pastor, as called into what we call the fivefold ministry, the key to that, the key to success is this. In Philippians, again, the second chapter, it says, let this same mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself under the mighty hand of God and became obedient, even to the obedient of death on the cross. Then it says, therefore, God has highly exalted him. In other words, out of that humility, out of that obedience to the word of God, came promotion from God himself. So many people try to promote themselves. The key to a church following after the Spirit of God is one that will continue not to exalt a man. Not to exalt a man. It doesn't mean that we can't tell people great job, good message, or things like that, okay? Not to exalt a man, but to exalt Jesus. My role, Pastor Cam's role, the pastors on this staff, our responsibility is to get you to have such a relationship with Jesus and such a relationship with the Word of God that if anybody tries to lead you astray or speak something into your ears that is not of God, you will know it just like that. You will have a check in your spirit. There is no time that anybody in the Bible, any man or woman in the Bible is to be exalted. Only Jesus is to be exalted. And every time God does something in your life and He blesses you or you get something from Him or you're honored to do something, you are always to come back and give Him honor and glory. No matter what, if somebody honors you in some way, you are to give that honor back to God. Because the most dangerous thing in the world is for you to seek after affirmation. To seek after glory that only belongs to God. Don't want to do that. And when you have that in a church, you have a church that can easily be deceived from the top all the way down in the congregation. It's all about Jesus. The Apostle Peter shows how this deception enters the church, especially in these last days. Listen to this very carefully. But he says, he starts talking about the return of Jesus. He said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. That's the reason I'm thanking God I won't be here. Amen. It says, see, God destroyed the earth with water. This time He's going to destroy it with fire. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought to you to be in holy conduct and godliness? He puts an emphasis on behavior. He puts an emphasis on conduct. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved Paul, here we go, watch this, our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. So he said, there can be people who come in and take the word of God and twist it for their own gain. Twist it and use it for their own popularity. Twist it and use it so they will gain the fame. Twist it. In other words, he's saying this, they'll take it out of context and they can use it. And did you know the devil can give people scripture to say, but take it totally out of context? Take it out of what it means. I mean, there's a scripture in the Bible that says Judas went out and hung himself. And then there's another scripture that says, go therefore and do likewise. Now, we laugh at that, but how many of you, think about this, we laugh at that, taking things out of context, but Jim Jones calls 900 people to drink poisonous Kool-Aid because he took things out of context, and it was all about him. That's how cults get started. Amen? Listen to Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 9, talking about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. It says, then he, the devil, took him to Jerusalem and set him on the gable of a temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. And then listen to verse 10. For it is written. You know what he's quoting? He's quoting Psalms 91. He knows the word. Just because someone knows and uses the word, you've got to make sure it is in context with what is being said in the rest of the scripture, and it lines up to that scripture. So he says, for it is written, he will give his angels charge over you to guard you, watch over you closely and carefully, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus replied to him, because Jesus knew the word of God. He knew what God's word says. Why? Because if you go back, you got to remember now, Jesus came here as the Son of Man. He was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. And he had to be just like us in every aspect so that what he did for us would be received by the Father. So he had to be tempted in every way. He had to go through every single temptation that every human being goes through. It's amazing. And the Bible tells us that. The Bible says that he was tempted in every way but without sin. So that he can get us through every single temptation that we face in our life, and also has to do with testing. But the Bible says in Luke, the 4th chapter, when Jesus came out of the wilderness and he went back to his synagogue, and here's what it says, as was his custom. In other words, Jesus as a young man was a church goer. His family took him to synagogue. His family took him to church. And there he was learning the scriptures. Lo and behold, he was the scripture. He was the word. And so Jesus, and this is the same thing, that the reason that you and I must renew our minds to the word of God is that we must be able to say, when the devil says it is written, we must be able to say back to him, no. That's out of context. Let me tell you what the Bible really says about what you're saying right now. And here's what Jesus did. Jesus replied to him, the Scripture says, the Bible says, the Word of God says, you shall not tempt, try, test exceedingly the Lord your God. And when the devil had ended every single complete cycle of temptation, he temporarily left him. That is, he stood off from him until another opportune and favorable time. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil will never give up on you. But the only way he can win in your life is when you do not know truth. The way, when you don't know the Holy Spirit quickening something to you or something coming up in your spirit, is because the Holy Spirit will lead you, guide you, and direct you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is not going to speak something that is contrary to truth, because He is the Spirit of truth. And when we start going off in the wrong path, the Holy Spirit will do everything. He's like a GPS, rerouting. He's doing everything He can to get us back into a position and place to get us back in the path, back on the highway of holiness, back on the highway that He knows that God has set before us. He will always bring us back to the Word of God. But now listen very carefully. If you don't know the Word of God and you are not solidly rooted and grounded in the Word of God, He will get you to start thinking about what He's saying, using voices, and the next thing you know, you'll find yourself in a place of confusion. And you'll say, well, you know, that does make sense. It may make human sense, but is it from God? That's the key. Is it from God? Remember, if you want to hear the voice of God, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Listen to me very, very carefully. The moment you read the Word of God, that is the voice of God speaking to you. And the moment that you take the Word, put it in your heart, and it comes out of your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The moment that you start speaking God's word, you are now voicing back to God what He has said, and then He will voice back to you what He has said. You'll hear an echo, is exactly what you're going to hear, because the moment you start speaking God's word that comes out of your heart, and you know it at that moment, at that time, you literally become His voice. Just like the prophets of old. How do we know that? Listen to this very carefully. And I'll close with this. I got plenty of notes. You know I never get through my notes. They'll be on the website. Listen to this. In many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of truth in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. How did He do that? Dreams and visions. He did it through angels. He did it through judges. He did it speaking to the prophets. He did it through a burning bush. He'd do it through fire. There's so many different ways, so many different things there that you can see God speaking. to them. Now, here's one thing you need to understand about the audible voice of God in the Old Testament. You've got to realize that they were spiritually dead. Their spirit man was not enlightened. Yet their spirit man was separated from God. So therefore, the Holy Spirit did not live on the inside of them. So the Holy Spirit cannot speak them from the inside like the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. The only thing God could do, they didn't have spiritual ears to hear unless the Spirit of God came upon them. And that's the reason the Spirit of God came upon the prophets, and the prophets became His voice to the nation. So they couldn't hear. So God had to speak to them audibly at times to get their attention. But now, in these last days, how does He speak to us? Here it is right here. He spoke to our forefathers by the prophets in different ways. But in verse 2, but in the last of these days, He has spoken to us. He has spoken to express thoughts, opinions, or feelings orally to us in the person of a Son, Jesus Christ, whom He has appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom He created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He has made, produced, built, operated, arranged them in order. Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying, or the radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power. So He's spoken to us, it says, by His word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know God's voice by knowing His word and obeying it. And when you read the Word of God, it is not something that you just do a little devotion with. The Word of God is the bread of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Listen, if you're tired of being hoodwinked, like, isn't it amazing all these scams are coming back? I just cannot believe how many people think that they're going to get $18 million from somebody in Nigeria as an inheritance. You've got to be kidding me. Hello. You're not a turnip. You didn't fall off of a turnip. I can't even say it. You're not a collard. You're not a radish. Folks, don't fall for this stuff. Come on. Come on. I want you to get into the Word of God. We want you to get into the Word of God. The Word of God. Listen, this morning when I'm reading the daily Bible reading, that's the reason we have the daily Bible reading up on our webpage. I read it every single year, and I read it. And we just went through Jeremiah, and I cannot tell you how many times the Lord was speaking to my heart on scriptures that I have read over and over again. And He was speaking to me about today. He was speaking to me about the body of Christ. He was speaking to me about the church. He was speaking. He just literally, all that scripture, revelation explodes. And every time I get down, I say, Holy Spirit, teach me as I read this today. I don't read my daily Bible reading to get a message, even though I get messages out of it. I read my daily Bible reading to feed Al Bryce, to feed me as a son of God, to renew my mind, to feed me. I love the Word of God. And here's what you need to understand. Think about all the things and all the voices in your life, and what place does God's voice have? How much time does He have? How much time do you spend in His Word? Is that your pursuit? Is that what you desire more than anything else? Instead of watching all of this stuff, I'm not telling you quit watching TV, okay? That's between you and God. I'm not telling you that. But I'm just saying there needs to be a balance in your life. There needs to be a time that you must get with God. You must get in His Word. And in these last days, if you don't do that, and you don't do it with your family, you don't do it with your children, I'm telling you, you're going to be so deceived. Because things can look like God, smell like God, and it may not be God. You need to be able to discern. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. It is time. Listen. It is time that we get into the Word to hear His voice. Every time I read my daily Bible reading, I open this up and I say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, renew my mind to truth. I've been doing it, and I'm at 73 right now, which is very young. Your young man will see visions. Your old man will dream dreams. I'm still seeing visions. God bless all you older people that are dreaming, but I'm still seeing visions. I'm still young. Glory to God. But here's the thing. You need to know what is God and what is not God. And if you have your heart loaded with the truth, the Holy Spirit will tell you right then. You will know. Every situation, everything that you have to do, that's how I've been, Tava and I, we've been led and guided all of these years. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to just say this with me. Just pray this with me. Father, I ask you, give me revelation knowledge. Give me the depth of your word. And I declare today that I am hungry for your word. I will put other things that have come in and contended for your attention. I will put them on a fast. And I declare, as for me and my house, we will serve God. I will be hungry for the things of God and for the Word of God. Holy Spirit, help me, teach me, lead me, guide me into all truth. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.